Today on the Voices of Legacy, we're honored to welcome a dynamic leader, educator, advocate for families and children, Ms. Tashina Hoag. She's the founder of Tangible Habits, LLC, right here in Toledo, Ohio, a company committed to empowering growth through data-driven behavior support for children, families, and educators. With a strong background in board-certified behavior analysis, Tashina has dedicated her life work to helping others build meaningful habits that lead to lasting transformation. Ms. Tashina Hoag, hopefully I got the name right.
You got it correct.
Yes. where's the clapping? No, I'm just kidding. Welcome to the Voices of Legacy. Tell us about yourself.
Yes, thank you. Well, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me. As you mentioned, my name is Tashina. I do go by Sheena.
Okay.
However, I like to step into the identity of whom I am, mm-hmm. which is Tashina Hoag, which goes along with Tangible Habits. I'm going along with the TH here.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but I am born and raised in Toledo, Ohio. Yes, I graduated from Central Catholic High School, went on to the University of Toledo to get a bachelor's in speech and language pathology. And then from there, after doing some work around the community, went to the University of Cincinnati, where I got my master's degree in behavior analysis.
Wow. I was going to ask you about all those letters behind your name.
Yes, I can tell you about those. So the MED is master's level, master's of education. BCBA stands for Board Certified Behavior Analyst.
Oh, wow.
You might have also seen COBA, which is COBA, which is a certified Ohio behavior analyst,
and
an LBA, which is licensed behavior analyst. The LBA could be for multiple states. I'm licensed in Ohio, New York, and Michigan currently. So I can serve different entities and families in those states.
So what is it exactly that you do?
Yes. So as a behavior analyst with my consulting business currently, I consult with different educational settings, whether that be school districts, daycares, youth programs, and with the families as well in the community. And with that consultant piece, it looks like basically we work directly one-on-one, doing a lot of hands-on coaching, professional development training, supporting if there is a student who is in crisis or has a behavior, really looking at their why, trying to figure out how we can best support them so they can get their needs met without having to have to engage in aggression or tantrum-like behaviors or inappropriate social skills and things like that.
So you help troubled youth?
Correct. Yes.
Is that the kind of nutshell of it? But you mentioned families and other support staff as well. So
yes. Yeah. So the family. So for example, right now I do a lot of the work with the families. They'll say, hey, you know, Sheena, I'm really struggling with blank with my child. What that looks like if they are at Walmart or if they're at, you know, a store somewhere, I'm able to kind of come there and assist with them just being able to help looking into maybe it's something within the environment. Maybe it's the lighting. Maybe it's the sound. Really helping them to adapt to the environment and the spaces that they're going in that is causing them the crisis-like behavior. In the school setting, a lot of kids just don't want to do the work, right?
Yeah.
But it's okay to not want to do something, but tolerating it and being able to accept, okay, I can't do this right now, but I'm going to do it later. A lot of kids engage in the behavior in the classrooms and they're being sent to the principal's office, being sent home. In actuality, that's just reinforcing their behavior to continue to do what they're doing.
It's kind of like a break. I get out of here.
Exactly.
Wow.
I call the front office Disney World because it's like you go up there, you get, you know, the food being delivered. You got all the conversations. People are going in and out. So,
Wow. What led you to this field and pursuit?
Okay. You know, a lot of people ask me, do I have a family member or a friend, someone with a developmental disability? I primarily support individuals with autism, but I do not have anything, a person that is close proximity to me that I love and cherish as far as family with autism. However, when I first got started, you know, I wanted to be a pediatrician.
Oh.
I knew that I wanted to work with kids, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do.
Well, that's a calling altogether.
Yes, it is. I love children. They just fuel me and give me life. But when I found out that I had to do a lot more of like science, math, chemistry, all the things, that was just not
for me.
It was not attractive. No.
Wow.
So during that time period, I actually got just kind of a one-off job working as a direct care support in a school setting. Mm. And I was working with kids with disabilities, and I was basically like a tutor, if you will, or like a paraprofessional. And that just like kind of sparked like, okay, how can I be more involved? I actually got a job over the summer working as what's called a registered behavior technician. That's RBT. Again, that's kind of like your direct care work provider. Mm-hmm. And I knew from there that that was it. That was the thing for me. The why behind that. Mm-hmm. The children that I supported, they either are non-vocal, which means they're not able to communicate vocally. They had some sort of device, or they use sign language or visuals of some sort. Mm-hmm. Or they just engage in inappropriate behavior. And so for me, I wanted to give them voice of reason to say, hey, you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Let me kind of help you express what you're trying to say. Let me help you get your means met by just doing the right thing, or thing that's going to be more applicable where you can get it sooner rather than later.
Gotcha. Mm. So if someone was in need of your service, how do they know that you exist?
Yes. Well, you'll see me on social medias. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook, Instagram primarily. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my services are being sought out through word of mouth. Mm-hmm. I do consult with a few different school districts in the area. I work a lot with the different families. Mm-hmm. I've worked in the community, working like in the clinical setting. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know like speech therapy, occupational therapy.
Yes.
This direct therapy is called ABA therapy, which there's a lot of acronyms in our field, but it's called ABA therapy, which is applied behavior analysis. It is typically a therapy that kind of sparked back in the 60s for individuals with autism, but it is used for any and everyone in any capacity. Mm-hmm. You can do it for organization behavior management, marriage and counseling, staff development, all of it, you name it. Mm-hmm. But again, how you can find me, you can directly use my socials. I'm a person that's an email or a phone text. That's how you can get in contact with me as well. But I definitely love word of mouth, because it says that, hey, the work that she's doing, the work that I'm doing has true value and meaning. Oh, yes. Someone's just passing it out there.
That's the best advertisement. You know? A testimony is always the best advertisement.
Absolutely.
Hmm. So do you have any support staff, and how long have you been at this?
I am a one-woman show.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a mom. And I've been doing this officially on my own for the last 3 years.
Oh, awesome.
However, in the field since 2013. Mm-hmm. Started working with babies. I had 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds. And then I eventually started working with adults too. I was working in Michigan, working in a rehabilitation facility, working with adults with traumatic brain injury.
Oh.
And that was interesting. Lots of individuals, whether it be car accidents, whether it be some sort of traumatic, I had NFL players, all types of individuals. But the skills from applied behavior analysis was applied, because they were engaging in all sorts of different behavioral needs, lack of communication skills, social, motor, all of those issues that we're facing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very interesting. Now, you are very well versed in what you do. You ever run into any roadblocks? Like, you look very young. I'll just put it out there. People ask you, well, how old are you?
Thank you. It's a good compliment. Oh, you really want to know?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm 34 years old.
Yeah. So has anybody said, well, you look too young to be able to help me?
No, I haven't gotten that. But being in the school systems, I'll walk around with a backpack, and some of the students will say, hey, are you new here? Are you new to my class? And I'll say, no, I'm actually here to come observe.
What was it? 21 Jump Street. You could be on 21 Jump Street.
Oh, right. Exactly. That was a good movie. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So the core of your service for Tangible Habits, you have, I guess it's not like a menu, but on your website or on your social media, what you actually do. And do you work with, I guess it's two questions, do you work with other agencies as well?
Yes, yes. So direct services, if you will, if you want to look from a menu. So one-on-one coaching, so any sort of coaching in the environment, doesn't matter where. Professional development training, so lots of staff training. I like to do the in-services, whether it's for schools, organizations, parent training as well. I like to call that parent collaboration, because I don't really feel like I'm training the parent, right? Like,
doesn't
I'm just
nice,
trying
huh?
to, right, I'm just trying to help assist what you're already doing to do something more, less, or differently, so that way you can help yourself and your child. My first approach is working with the adults, because I feel if adults are changing and monitoring their behavior and how we're responding, it's definitely going to alter how the child responds.
How hard is it to get a parent to I won't say see the error of their ways. That sounds terrible. But adjust what they've been doing to affect change with their child.
Yeah. A lot of parents are actually willing and wanting to do the change. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it's a lot harder than someone who comes in for a few hours, right? Because mm-hmm. they're with their child 24/7. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just got to give in. Yeah. And what we do is we ended up reinforcing that behavior to keep happening. It's like when you go to the grocery store and you're like, mom, I want this sucker or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, told you don't ask for anything, right? We're mm-hmm. coming here to get whatever you're going to get.
Yeah.
And then they fall down and have a whole tantrum. And now you're in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing. And you're like, okay, get up. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
So then you give into it. Mm-hmm. So it is a lot harder because you have to become accustomed to doing something that seems abnormal or seems redundant.
Or uncomfortable.
Or uncomfortable. Yeah. But once the parents see that it's working, oh, by then they're like, you know what? You're right. I should have been doing this, you know?
So tangible.
It's tangible.
Habits.
Correct.
Okay.
There you go. You got it.
It's going together now.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So I hope this is a good question, but how would a parent pay? Do you accept Medicaid?
So I am a Medicaid provider. However, okay. I am in the process of going through the whole credentialing step. So if anyone out there can assist with that, I'd be more than happy to mm-hmm. kind of connect with you. But right now, as far as families, different grant fundings, mm-hmm. And then if they are having an issue and it is becoming impeding in their learning environment, mm-hmm. The organization, the schools typically pay for it.
Oh.
So what I like about my role, my position here, is I get to be kind of like that bridge, that gap.
Mm-hmm.
I like to offer what's called wraparound services. So supporting the family, supporting the school, support for, mm-hmm. the providers. And I haven't touched on it yet. Maybe we'll get there, but the siblings as well.
Ah, now that sounds interesting.
Yes.
So you said Medicaid provider.
Yes.
Explain.
So you have to become credentialed and paneled mm-hmm. with different insurances. You have mm-hmm. your commercial and you have your Medicaid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm listed as a provider where I'll show up in the system, mm-hmm. but there are multiple managed care plans. So you got your Aetna, Cigna, mm-hmm. Blue Cross Blue Shield. You have to get with each and every mm-hmm. one of those. Yes, those.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yep. Working through Aetna and there's another
listed.
One. Correct.
Gotcha.
Yes,
gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody come to you through one of those providers?
Not currently, no. A lot of the families, either they're coming through me direct through mm-hmm. grant funding, private pay, or their schools.
Oh, wow. That's mm-hmm. interesting. Because your presumption would be, well, if you have that, then you might need this.
Correct, yeah. And what also happens is there's that building of partnerships,
mm-hmm.
working with organizations who are already credentialed, ready to go with those mm-hmm. insurance carriers, and then I'm able to do some contractual work with
gotcha.
Them, and we partner from that.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So back to what you were getting ready to talk about.
Yes, the siblings.
The siblings.
Okay, so the siblings. This is a newer initiative that I started, I want to say exactly August of last year. So not even a full year yet, but it has been a joy. I've always wanted to work with, like I said, I work with the parents, I work with the providers, but sometimes we just kind of forget about all the people involved, whether that's grandparents, siblings, friends, church, you know, whomever. Everyone is there. We're a village. So I wanted to highlight the siblings explicitly.
Mm-hmm.
This space is called Tangible Ties.
Mm.
Okay. Tangible Ties is explicitly my sibling community. I have two different sets of individuals that we see. First one is for siblings that have an individual with a disability.
Mm.
For example, my brother has autism. It would be for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second group is for bio siblings. I also do work with child and welfare programs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are a bio sibling who may have a foster or adoptive sibling within your home, it's explicitly a space for the siblings where they can get together monthly. And we meet and just talk about all things that they're experiencing,
mm-hmm.
whether it's social emotional skills, understanding diagnoses, understanding reunification, all the things as it relates to dealing with a sibling that has a disability or that in foster care. We come, we have fun, mm-hmm. we do recreational activities, skill building, and it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's ultimately what I want for them.
So this is at your facility.
Right now, I partner with an organization,
mm-hmm.
And they allow us to come in those space monthly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually have a brick and mortar, so a lot of the work that I do is within the community.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, I'm bringing it to spaces that are either within those set populations.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So if someone feels overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
where should they start?
Well, I would say in the beginning, when you say overwhelmed.
Parent.
Okay, just with
their child.
Child having mm-hmm. behavior or, mm-hmm. okay. And a lot of parents are overwhelmed too with diagnoses. That's mm-hmm. another area. But overwhelmed with their child, I would say, reach out to me. We can have a direct conversation. More often than not, if I'm not that person that can actually deliver the service that's needed mm-hmm. or help in any type of way, I'm giving resources, I'm giving referrals and trying to connect them within the community. But first off, let's just have a conversation because I want them to be seen and heard because sometimes they go in silence.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the child again.
The parent.
The parent.
The parent.
That, mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going. So if you're not the doctor just yet, do you make the referral if medication is a consideration?
So I don't really dabble into the medication piece. However, what mm-hmm. I do as a behavior analyst, what I can do with medical providers, mm-hmm. say child A is having behaviors every day around mm-hmm. 1 o'clock. You're like, what is going on? So I start taking data collection on those behaviors and saying, okay, this is what we're seeing. Here's what's happening before and here's what's happening after. Mm-hmm. So I give kind of like a observational notes, things like that. Mm-hmm. I may say recommendations as well, but I'm not referring like specific medication because that's not in my area of expertise.
Gotcha. That's a good answer.
Yes.
And with teachers, I guess you would have to work with the teachers as well.
Yes, lots of direct hands-on work with the teachers. I had a placement where I was working in a school district and I was there pretty much like on staff. Mm-hmm. And so with those teachers, you know, I would be in the classrooms kind of helping, whether it's like, hey, let me pull out little Johnny, you know, or working with the teachers to say, hey, what do I do? How do I create a plan to have this child have success? Mm-hmm. So a lot of the students that I work with in school settings, they're either on an IEP or mm-hmm. a 504 plan. But I do work with general.
For those that don't understand what an IEP is.
Yes, it's an individualized evaluation plan.
Mm-hmm. And that's generally with public schools.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So if they have an IEP or a 504 plan, I work with them. But you don't have to have those to be able to get the support, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people just need time and accommodations. And again, with those behaviors in the classroom, we're just trying to figure out the why and give the student like another opportunity to just say, hey, I just need a moment. And that's okay. They're experiencing a lot.
Because there's a lot of organizations out there, without naming all of them, Harbors, Tackle, mm-hmm. and many others.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're doing different variations of the same thing.
Yep. They are, actually. And a few of the schools that I work with, those entities that you mentioned, mm-hmm. they're embedded within the school mm-hmm. system. I'm coming in as a third-party consultant, if you will, through this behavioral lens, this applied behavior analysis lens. And with that, we do collaboration. We kind of tag team, if you will.
Gotcha.
Hey, here's this plan. This is what I'm doing. I might say, hey, you might want to try this or have you tried that? More often than not, they haven't. And I want to simplify it. And also, it has to be, one, socially significant, and it needs to respect and honor their background, their culture. Because sometimes we say, hey, I want you to do something, and it's not adaptable or not suited for them.
So it seems like that would lead you to be dealing with some extreme cases.
I have. The things that I have seen.
I know
seen
you can't speak specifically, but what have been some of the challenges that you've ran into?
I would say, you're seeing all types of behavior, mm-hmm. whether that's severe physical aggression, mm-hmm. disrobement of clothes, mm-hmm. Property destruction. Mm-hmm. We like to use the word like noncompliance, so not responding, not engaging. I've seen severe fecal smearing. I've seen severe absentees in school. I've seen just a lot of inappropriate social language, inappropriate sexual behaviors. I've seen it all. And it all ranges from mild to severe, I would say. And sometimes it can be difficult. And sometimes we're like all looking at each other like, what do we do with this? Yeah. Because what we do with the child in a school setting, right? Mm-hmm. They're only there for 6.5 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so what we do there has to be long lasting so they can generalize those skills. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they walk out that door and go home to grandma's house, mm-hmm. the youth program, someone else could inadvertently reinforce what we try to, diminish. Basically.
You don't know what they're going
you
back to.
You don't know.
Because that's generally, not always, where some of the behavior may be coming from.
Absolutely. I had a kiddo in a foster system and just came in, horrible day, but couldn't explain or tell us what was going on.
Mm.
You know, we always offer us kind of like a free basket of food, snacks, just readily available because we don't know how much food they're getting, where they're coming from on the weekends. But this individual, hard day. Well, come to find out after we had the whole behaviors that happened at school, they were being moved from their placement. And it's like, how do we learn to have that expression of, I am just frustrated. I don't know what my life is going to look like right now. And just trying to offer that safe space. Sometimes we try to come in with a solution, but let's just like be attentive to what's going on. Let's let them have a voice.
Awesome. So it sounds like you're heading towards maybe a brick and mortar sometime in the near future.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I really would. You know, I've been praying on that quite honestly. And something that's new that I'm excited about, I'm actually starting an initiative at my church home where I'm creating a space for an inclusive classroom. And we don't quite have that yet, but we're working on it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, Lord, was this the brick and mortar? Was this the space? You know, but I would love to have a space where families and participants can come to me. But also, too, I like the flexibility that I have to be able to bridge that gap and go to where everyone is and meet their need, because not everyone has the means of transportation, too. Mm-hmm. That can become a barrier.
Yeah. And there are programs even for transportation, I found.
Oh, OK. Well, then I need to get connected.
So you have, by my account, what, 13 years of experience?
Yes.
Just about?
Yes.
My math is OK sometimes. What would you suggest to anybody considering a career in your field?
Yes. So I didn't mention this, but something that I offer as well is I supervise and mentor those who are interested in learning more about this field.
Mm-hmm.
As you're going through the schooling, you do have to acquire practicum hours, and so they have to have a supervisor. So I directly provide that one-on-one aid with them to be able to go through all things content, giving them clients to actually work with and apply the skills that they're learning while they're in school. But for someone who really wants to learn about this population, primarily you're going to see them in like educational fields, special education. I started off in speech and language, and I've twisted and all the way got into behavior. So
has any of your education in speech and language helped you in this field?
Oh,
Seems like it would translate.
It absolutely has. I'm not fluent. I learned a little bit of sign language, baby sign language, if you will, using a lot of visual supports, AAC devices, which stands for augmentative communication devices, systems, if you will. And so I've used those from being able to learn that while I was in school, working with a lot of the kids, and being able to have that patience and really understanding the early phonemic sound awareness, if you will.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And some kids, even with their disabilities, I've learned, especially in law enforcement, my previous career, even what we consider disabled, they've got game. They'll get you if you let them.
Yes.
And you have to kind of get past that and still consider their condition, but at the same time, serve them. So have you run into any of that?
I have. My kiddos are smart, okay? They know how to manipulate and run the system. It's quite funny sometimes. They're always like two steps ahead of you, even when you think that that they're not.
Wow.
You speak of law enforcement, right? That's where you're.
Yes.
Okay. So even tapping into that world, being able to speak with, I got firefighters all up and down in my family, but firefighters, police officers, first responders, really learning how to, when you come across an individual who's in crisis, how to one, stop, acknowledge, see the triggers, see the precursors, the things that are happening first. Because sometimes when you feel like they're just shut down, really they're just taking a while to process what you're asking them. And then we don't want to mislead that as not responding, being cooperative.
Because conflict resolution isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, there's the next day and the next day and the next day, and then the repeat behavior, and sometimes it'll escalate.
Yes.
So to fix the issue at hand, you kind of have to address everything else. Is that right?
Yes, yes. And you really want to be proactive versus then reactive.
Yes.
Because really then you're just learning this pattern of behavior. And it's kind of like it's too late and you got to like re-unfold everything that you've already learned. Yeah.
Wow. So we've come to this point in the program where I have to ask you the big question. Are you ready?
All right.
Are you sitting down?
Let's do it.
Well, I'm going to ask you something else before I get there.
Okay.
I'm going to leave you in suspense for a second. Is there a book? Do you have any printed materials?
Oh, do I have
any?
No, I do not have any currently. I do not.
Well, it sounds like you ought to.
I know. And I feel
no
like
pressure.
You're like the fifth person who said that.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's something I need to work on. Yes. So I think I might
Yeah, because it's supportive material based on what you shared today, which is amazing, that would lead people right back to your service potentially.
Yes, yes. I'm looking to actually start either with, like you said, a book, mm-hmm. Content of some sort, online content, to be able to say, hey, watch this video, because it's just me, right? I can't be in all the spaces and places at one time.
Yeah.
So being able to give them something to kind of grasp.
AI it.
Right? In the world we live in today.
No, don't listen to that.
But being able to give them something tangible,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, if you will, until I'm able to kind of come in and step into the environment where they are and being able to assist one-on-one.
That's a good idea. And I only want a commission. So back to the original question.
Okay.
What do you think your legacy is in the 13 years of service that you've had?
Mm-hmm.
And what would you like for it to be?
Can I start with what would I like it to be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would I like for it to be? As with tangible habits, I mm-hmm. want for parents to be seen and to be heard, feel supported and not left behind.
Mm-hmm.
I would like for the providers, caretakers, school personnel, administrators, I want them to be supported and empowered.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to know that you have the tools in your toolbox, but let's use them effectively. And I would love for the individual themselves, the clients that we serve,
mm-hmm.
I want them to feel not like they're being accommodated for, right?
Mm-hmm.
But actually being enrooted into the spaces that they are. People are adapting and accommodating their needs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and adjusting to them. So that's what I would love for part two of your question. Part one, remind me again, what did you say there?
Well, I asked you, what would you like your legacy to be and what do you think it is already?
What it is already. At Tangible Habits, with myself, I lead and I'm rooted in compassion and grace.
Mm.
And I feel that people see that and that's like the first impression that they get. You're so kind, you're so genuine, you're so compassionate, and I really listen.
Yeah.
And I love that because I know that I put people first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really working on my self-care self-care skills as well. But I do put people first,
uh-huh.
and this fuels me to be able to assist, to advocate, and support people mm-hmm. by all means necessary. So again, that's where I'm at with that.
Wow. Well, that's a lot. Again, you need to write a book. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Did you have any parting words for the people listening to this?
I'll leave you all with this. Do it on purpose to make it tangible, with purpose to make mm-hmm. it a habit.
Wow. Tangible habits.
Yes.
There you go. Do you have a website?
I do. It is tangiblehabits.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ms. Tashina Hoag.
Yes.
I got it right.
You got it right.
For joining us for the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your legacy every day that you live. Remember to be kind to someone. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.